Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our life to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Fans, the College Ball Show returns. I am your host, Chris Carlson. Unfortunately, I'll be without my co-host, Marshall, today. He had some engagements as a coach and a teacher that he had to, of course, take care of. So I'll be riding solo, which means it's going to be a little quicker. It's going to be quicker of a show. We got a lot to talk about, though. We will jump in pretty damn quickly. To the Week 7 stuff. Two of the top teams, Ohio State and Alabama, head on the road, man. They get out in enemy territory and take on two top 10 teams, Wisconsin and Tennessee. It should be some good action. You know, when you look at the spreads, you think, those might be like kind of rollover games. But I have a hunch that won't be the case. I think both of them will be very competitive. Obviously, if Tennessee tries to play from behind against Alabama, well, we know how that usually works out. And that's usually not going to get you anywhere, let's be honest. But before we do that, we're going to have a quick recap section. Like I said, I won't have Marshall here, so it should go pretty quick for those that are trying to hear the Week 7 predictions. There's a lot of good games, not just those top two. Arkansas and Ole Miss, Miami and North Carolina. Variety of good games still on the ledger. I'm pretty happy. Or like even games like the hardcore games, you know, the under-the-radar games. Like Texas Tech. And why can't I think of in West Virginia? That's an interesting game. One of the toughest games of the week, at least during the week, now that we have some news about Christian McCaffrey. To me, that Stanford-Notre Dame game was just like, what's going on? You know what I mean? Like, you tell me who's going to win that. I have no freaking clue. Not even a half a clue. But, yeah, we definitely will get into those picks here kind of soon. Real quick, though, we're going to talk about last week, and what a phenomenal week. Once again, I mean, we had upsets on the national stage, several tight endings, edge-of-your-seat type clash between A&M and Tennessee. You also had big teams like Washington, highly ranked teams like Alabama going against solid competition, and pretty much – Taking care of business. Washington put up, 70 on Oregon? Man, have the mighty fallen. Between Oregon, Stanford, Notre Dame, rough stuff there, man. That's a tough one. But let's get into the week, right? Obviously, I mentioned a couple of games already. Alabama pretty much handled it. I will say the QB from Arkansas had a big game, though, 400 yards passing, three TDs. They did manage to get back in the game to an extent, I guess you could say, 49-30. Ohio State handled Indiana 38-17. But when I say handled, it was really the stellar performance by JT Barrett, 136 yards rushing, two touchdowns. But Indiana hung tight. Michigan completely completely destroyed Rutgers by an almost unthinkable score, 78-0. I mentioned those Ducks dissected by Washington. Sophomore QB Jake Browning, 6 touchdowns, over 300 yards passing. And I talked about Stanford, just back-to-back butt whoopings. Washington State didn't hardly break a sweat, dominating at that time number 15 Stanford 42-16. Luke Falk, QB for the Cougars, 4 TDs, 357 through the air. And I'll tell you what, we've been paying attention to this USC Trojan team. They put together 2 solid wins after, like, what was it, a 1-3 start or 1-2 start? They beat Colorado 21-27 last Saturday afternoon. But as far as the big games, the tight games, the shockers, we did have upset. We did have some upsets, no doubt about it. Besides that, we're going to get into that. I kind of lost my train of thought there. My cat just kind of jumped over me. I thought I had my door shut. Anyway, A&M wins in double overtime. Just a thriller. 45-38. And what do you know? The Aggies got out to a fast start. Tennessee got down 21-7. I think it was 28-14 at half. Actually, I think I was heading into the fourth quarter, 28-14. And you're thinking by that time, it's probably a wrap. You know, just watching the game, seeing how those defensive ends were just getting to the quarterback, it just seemed like it was a wrap, you know? And there was a moment there where Travion Williams could have put the game on ice. Long run. And right before, it was going to be a TD run, but right before he got to the goal line, he was stripped, which resulted in a touchback. The teams kind of traded touchdowns from there, and Tennessee scored back-to-back drives. And with 41 seconds to play in regulation, they tied that puppy up. The crazy part about it, so that's pretty crazy to come back. Not that crazy if you followed Tennessee, but still. Watching the game, you kind of thought they were dead in the water. But to add even more to it, A&M, boom, drove down the field in 30 seconds, set up a makeable field goal that would have won the game, of course. The kicker, 38 yards out, missed it badly, too. Missed it badly. In double overtime, they both scored to get it to 38-38. Christian Kirk made a nice grab. And a play later, QB Trevor Knight scored to get up by a touchdown on the ensuing for Texas A&M on the ensuing possession. Tennessee first play got the ball back, through a pick on the first down, just done. You know what I mean? Williams did it. Ooh, shoot, that was my speaker turning off. Scared the hell out of me. Williams had a big game for the Aggies, 28 carries, 217 rushing. I'll tell you what though, a guy that kept him in there was Elvin Kamara. Had an outstanding game, 127 rushing, 161 receiving yards to go along with 3 touchdowns. So I was pretty impressed by him, that's for sure. Great game, though. Great game. You know, I talked about this number 6, and when I say talked about, I'm saying I brought it up. We looked at Houston and said, you know, Navy played them pretty tough. And not just that, but Navy had a great quarterback last year, Mr. All-Purpose as far as rushing and passing yards, set all those records. But I thought, you know, they probably lost too much. Well, I was wrong, because they took out, completely shocked, number 6 Houston, 46-40. Fun back-and-forth type game. I think it was 20-20 at half. But then Navy, upset-minded Navy, just exploded in the third quarter, taking a commanding 41-27 lead. But the Cougars, you know, they didn't go quietly. They mounted a comeback. 6 points, I think they got it with 2 minutes to play, but it just wasn't enough. Here's what it came down to, the ground game, right? The midshipmen, which is the Navy, obviously, dominated Houston on the ground to a tune of 306-102. So very, very impressive there. Here's a big shocker to me. Virginia Tech just eases by, just crushes North Carolina 34-3. Sloppy game due to Hurricane Matthew. So, of course, it was going to be a low-scoring game, you thought, anyway. 13-3, the Hokies had it. They were up by 13-3 at half, but they just crushed them, man. Just crushed them. And Tar Heels standout QB Mitch Trubisky, he was 13-33 for 58 yards, dude. That's crazy. Now the Hokies, and I did mention this in the picks segment, the Hokies move on to 8-1 in road games against the Associated Poll top 25 ranked opponents since 2010. So that's all you betting degenerates out there, and I say that kindly. Keep an eye on that when you're talking about Virginia Tech. That's for damn sure, right? I mean, that's a pretty impressive stat, no doubt about it. I remember, a couple years back, the only loss that Ohio State had was Virginia Tech. That year that they won. And obviously that goes into it. That goes into the stats 100%. I had a caller on. Not sure what happened there. My switchboard seems to be working. So hopefully they'll give me a ring back. Let me see here. Yeah, I just gonna refresh it just in case. Just in case that was the issue. I don't believe it was, but you never know. Shoot. I'm not sure what's up with that. Well, anyway, let's get back to it, shall we? Where were we? Oklahoma. Oklahoma and Texas, the largest or biggest state fair in the country or in the world or whatever they call it, the biggest state fair. I forgot what they call it. I think that's what they call it. But anyway, 45-40, Oklahoma gets it done. Tight game at half. Texas got up 27-21, pretty much midway through the third quarter. They came right back to Oklahoma, 51-yard gain through the air. Third and goal, QB Baker Mayfield scrambles, gets in the end zone, gets Oklahoma up 28-27, and that was a wrap. D.D. Westbrook had a monster game, 213 yards receiving, 3 touchdowns. And he took a slant 47 yards to the house for the Sooners to put him up for good. Now, Texas made their way back into it, but it just wasn't enough, and they just couldn't get off on third down. The defense, Texas defense, they just could not get off the field on third down pretty much the whole game. And they gave up 627 yards. It's unbelievable. Oklahoma running back, Samaje Perine, however you say his last name, 214 on the ground, 35 carries. Big day for Baker Mayfield. He accounted for 410 total yards, 3 TDs. One of my squads, you know, I cheer for Minnesota first, but if you listen to the show, as you know, I am a Miami Hurricane fan as well, because in the 80s, my squad made a bowl game once in the whole 1980s. And so I had to have somebody to cheer for. Well, that was Miami. And they got beat 20-19. They got up 13-0. They were knocking the hell out of DeAndre Francois. If you've been paying attention to that Showtime Florida State, a season with Florida State, they did one on Notre Dame last year. It's been good. It's been very good. There was a great quote, though. They're looking inside the tent for Francois after he took a hit. And he said, "That's the biggest hit I've ever had in my life." He says, "Where does it hurt?" He said, "Everywhere." He said, "My whole body hurts." So that's a good sign for the Canes. However, oh boy, the young redshirt freshman, he toughed it out and got back in and did the deal. You know, it all started early in the third with a long catch, 59-yard catch and run from Dalvin Cook. He was wide open. He was wide open. And all of a sudden, Florida State had control of the game. Couldn't run the ball, Miami. Just It all fell apart. It's like they didn't show up for the third. Stacey Coley for Miami did catch a nice touchdown in the closing moments. It looked like the Canes were going to tie the ball game, but the Seminole special team unit came up with a block on an extra point. Time for Florida State to win a game on a kicking error on the other way with Miami, right? We had the wide rights, the wide lefts. At least it wasn't for a national title game at stake, or a trip to it, I should say, like it was back in the day. But still, hard fought, must. They needed that, a must win at that time for FSU. We'll see how they bounce back. But that was tough. That was very tough. Oklahoma State nearly rallied to beat Iowa State. Cyclones, man, they they needed a rally. What am I saying? Iowa State was up 31-14 late in the third. The Cowboys scored 24 points in a row. What do you know? James Washington, wide receiver for OK State, had a big, big day. Caught eight balls, 152 for two TDs. This game was going to be a barn burner last week, and it sure was. Pitt survives versus Georgia Tech, 37-34. The Panthers got two late scores, and they got it done, man. It was a really good game, though. I liked it. They went on a six-play drive to win it. They kicked the field goal to win it in regulation. So that about wraps up week six. I don't want to spend a ton of time on it. I do want to get into this week because, once again, college football, man, it just keeps coming. These last two seasons, of college football have just been so much fun to watch. So many great matchups. And if you don't have the great matchups on paper, well, just wait. You know what I mean? Wait for the week to happen, because usually it pays off. I'm just trying to open up the schedule here. Oh, yeah. I forgot that I had done it. So, I mentioned at the top of the show the two big matchups. Number one, Alabama, and number two, the two top teams. Ohio State is number two. Two top teams travel on the road. Going on the road where, you know, you're going on the road, college football, you know, it can be tough regardless, right? So in week seven, and by the way, we're just bringing in the YouTube audience right now. I had done a recap show earlier in the week, and I didn't want to double up. So we now are live on YouTube as well. So I'm just bringing in the YouTube audience. Hope everybody's doing good today. A lot of big games coming up. I just want to make sure to see if that caller did not. Let me see here. Just about to start the segment here. I just want to make sure. Yeah, I'm not sure. It seems like everything's good. So maybe he just had to go. Maybe I just didn't realize he was on there for as long as he was. You never know. All right. Yeah, it should be good to go. So I'll put it out there again. I forgot what the area code was. I think it was a local one, 952. When I mean local, I mean Minnesota. 952, I think it was, if my memory serves me correctly. Which, you know, it doesn't always do that. Anyway, number one and number two, Ohio State and Alabama, head on the road. And like I mentioned, not just heading on the road, they're going against top 10 opponents. Now, Vegas, had to stop for a drink of agua. Vegas will tell you that these aren't going to be that good of games if you look at the spreads. I beg to differ. Let's get into the first marquee matchup. Alabama at number 9, Tennessee. The Crimson Tide have won 11 in a row against the Vols. And, man, Tennessee has a slew of injuries on both sides of the ball. Luckily, they do have that Kamara. That'll help them. you know, that will definitely help him. But it does look like Hurd is going to be out. At least, well, we'll see. Sometimes in college, it can be harder because they don't have to be as outright as they do in the pros. And it's hard enough in the pros. Last week, man, Tennessee finally, right, finally screwed themselves against Texas A&M by getting down. Not just that. They got down, sure. They rallied really late in the game, but seven freaking turnovers. Bunch of fumbles. It was ridiculous. So inconsistency would be the perfect word when discussing Tennessee. What are they going to do? Are they going to show up for the second half? Are they going to get behind in the first quarter, catch back up by halftime, and make it a great game? You know, last, and we're about to cut off here, so if you want to call in, we got 90 seconds because I had a little problems calling in the show. A lot of the lines were busy. So I'm still live on Blog Talk, just not live as far as you got to be on your phone to listen to it. Huh, that's weird. Anyway, let's get into this game. So where was I? I was just about to say something. Oh, last year. That's where I was going with. Last year, this game was tight. And it looked like Tennessee was going to get over the hump and win this game last year. It was very tight, very low scoring. They're going to have to keep it that way. But with all these injuries and just some of the major mistakes and loose play, and I don't know. I find it hard to believe that Alabama won't be able to put up some points on this defense. So Las Vegas has them, Bama, 14-point favorite. I'm going to go with this is going to be a better game than that. It'll be closer than expected. I do think Bama wins 34-27, but I think it'll be closer. I think finally Tennessee will get off to a good start and not be down 21-3 at half. I think they actually show up to play. Now that they lost, you know, they got nothing to lose, although they certainly do, you know, being on the east of the SEC. But maybe they come in a little looser. Maybe I just think that it woke them up enough. They know potentially they look through that tape and they're like, wow, dude, we should have won that game, man. I'm talking about last week's and the week, you know, or last year's with Alabama, too. But seven turnovers, you know, I don't know. I just don't think they'll be down double digits at half. I think they'll be in the game pretty much throughout. Alabama will pull away, though. Ohio State at number 8, Wisconsin. Ohio State will travel to Wisconsin, like I mentioned in this marquee matchup. This is the ABC primetime game. A couple weeks back, the Badgers, you know, they stubbed their toe against Michigan. That defense, whew, that was a nasty defensive game. Kind of a throwback battle, which we assumed it would be, 14-7. Should be noted that, Michigan missed 3 field goals. I mentioned that because it probably, you know, for a defensive battle, it would have been 23-7 or even 20-7, whatever, maybe just missed one. But also, just keep that in mind with Michigan in these tight games down the stretch. And also, Alex Hornbrook was exposed. Now, the Wolverine defense is nasty, but 3 picks, just chucking it around, 9 of 25 passing, it's not going to get done. But you know what? Ohio State was a little sluggish last week. They could have been looking, you know, looking ahead to this matchup against Indiana. They were a little sluggish anyway. They ended up, you know, righting the ship and finishing it strong. Coming to this matchup, Ohio State is ranked in the top 10 on both sides of the ball, offense and defense. And that goes along with, combined with, a higher quality of talent at many positions. And, of course, quarterback, which is key in these tight tit-for-tat games. The point spread's 11. I'm going to say Ohio State 23-16. I think that it'll be a really tight game, and it'll just be a little too much Ohio State getting pressure on that young QB and also finishing drive, something Michigan wasn't able to do. Finishing a few, I should say. However, we're looking at that 11-point spread. I think it'll be under, like I mentioned, 23-16, because the Badgers have the second-best record at home since 2015. And they tend to cover the spread at Camp Randall no matter what it is, okay? Some of the games under the radar, number 12 Ole Miss versus number 22 Arkansas. This is a very important SEC conference scrap for both. That must wins for both, no doubt about it. Each team did lose to Bama. They were able to rally back in the game to an extent. Ole Miss obviously had that big lead early, but that thing was shrunk, you know, by halftime. This is a good matchup, though. This is a really good matchup. Obviously, Arkansas is going to look to control time of possession. If they do that, they'll probably win. Which Ole Miss team will show up? They're all over the place with some great performances within the game, you know, for two quarters. They're probably the best first-half team in the nation, right? The only complete game was against Georgia. That's their only complete effort of the whole season. I think this game comes down to the wire. The Hogs get it done with little time on the clock. I'm going for the minor upset here. I think it's an 8-point spread. And I guess I think Arkansas is at home, so that's more like 11, 12-point favorite. But I think they'll bounce back, and that's kind of my upset of the week to an extent anyway, but not really. I got a more juicy one for the actual upset of the week. North Carolina at number 16, Miami. Which teams will show up here? If you look at it, this is a crucial tilt within the ACC Coastal. And as we know, usually anyway, the Coastal comes all the way down to the wire. Florida State got beat by North Carolina on that kick. Virginia Tech just stomped North Carolina. Miami, FSU, you know, obviously came down to the wire. So my point is, who's more focused coming in off a loss? Will Miami be stuck kind of like, you know, in the what could have been? Or will, you know, North Carolina show up ready to play because they got embarrassed? I don't know. I think that's a good question. And obviously that is, to me, that is the question for that game. Which one is ready? Who can put away their loss and move on? And for me, I've been back and forth all week. When I wrote this, my first draft, I had North Carolina winning just because of that run defense, that poor run defense. Worse than the ACC, North Carolina is, and 113th in the nation. Not good. And the Canes, they love to pound the rock. They're second in rushing. Now, you know, the second half, they weren't able to run the ball with a lot of success against Florida State, but they got a lot more talent. Even though that defense has been exposed, they you know, they have more talent. So your guess is as good as mine. I switched at the last second, 30-26. Miami gets it done, but I wouldn't doubt if Miami drops that one at home because they're still stuck in last week, and they've had a problem, you know, compounding a bad loss and it just reeling for the rest of their season. Got a couple of hardcore barn burners to talk about before we get out of here in my Saturday upset pick. West Virginia at Texas Tech. One sentence on this one, okay? The fact that this barn burner is marked as even at the sports betting books is all you need to know. That's going to be a great game. I wouldn't be surprised if the Red Raiders from Texas Tech pull that one off. My honorable mention in that category, Notre Dame versus Stanford. Leading up to this season, both teams marked this game on their calendars. It's been an ongoing rivalry non-conference-wise. But I'm hearing that Christian McCaffrey is not going to be in the game, and that's good enough for me to pick Notre Dame, even though they have struggled. Something's got to give over there. I mean, it has given, I guess. But they got to bounce back and have a good performance. Kelly, the head coach there, is getting it from every single angle. And to an extent, rightfully so. You know, the way he blames his players. And, you know, in a rain-filled game from Hurricane Matthew, how are you going to be in shotgun and how are you going to throw the ball 50% of the downs? Like, that just makes no sense. So anyway, I'm going to go with the Dame, but I don't know. I really don't know which that game. Both those, you know, programs having a rough go at it, no doubt about it. Against the spread, I forgot about this category as well. Against the spread, Las Vegas says the Colorado Buffaloes, which are much improved this year, are 13.5 points better than Arizona State. Now, young quarterback for the Sun Devils and all, I think Arizona will compete. They'll lose, but they'll compete. It'll be a tight game. It'll be tighter than basically the 14 points. My honorable mention against the spread, Washington State is playing hot. They come off that big, big win, just domination over Stanford, right? And they're playing at home against UCLA. Home underdog. What is it, 4 or 5 points, something like that? So that's what I'm going with. That's what I'm going with. What was the last? Oh, yeah, upset. So Nebraska's had some nice wins this year. They really have. And a couple of them have been really, really, really close, too. Another game, Clemson and NC State. That could be a barn burner. That could be a little bit better than what they're saying it will be. I could see that. You know, NC State, they could put the ball in the air. They got some receivers. So just wanted to throw that in. So I'm going to pick for my upset special, number 10, Nebraska, will go down swinging on the road at Indiana. It'll be a high-scoring Big Ten tussle. To me, the Hoosiers showed that they could hang with Ohio State, and that's good enough for me. They've been knocking on the door the last 2 years. They kicked it in against Michigan State and beat them, but, you know, Michigan State's down this year, obviously. So, yeah, that's my upset. I'm going to go with Indiana to upset undefeated Nebraska, number 10 in the country. Who knows? We'll see. We'll see if that actually happens. Anyway, I'm going to get out of here, guys. My Minnesota Gophers lost another game, and it hurts. It hurts. Unfortunately, it's kind of looking like last season where there were so many tight games. If they could have just won half of them, they could have had a better season. Right now, starting QB, Mitch Leidner had a horrible game last. You know, he definitely took a step back. He's looked really good this year, and he looked good closing last year, but he had a bad game. And maybe this was due to it. You know, he started kind of feeling some concussion symptoms after the game. Not necessarily during it. He passed all the tests then. But after the game, once he settled down, adrenaline wore off, I guess. You know, you see that in boxing once in a while. I also, you know, for those who don't know, most people do. But I do the Rope-A-Dope Radio podcast every Wednesday. You can listen to it live or subscribe to it on iTunes, just like here. Same place, Blog Talk Radio, / Rope-A-Dope Radio. So they got a walk-on. I mean, he's not a walk-on anymore. He walked on originally. He has a scholarship now. He played for a local team, Creighton-Durham Hall. If you follow the national recruiting scene, you've probably heard of that high school. It's definitely developed some talent. Winky Wright and several guys. Joe Mauer, actually, too. He was on full ride to Florida State prior to him playing baseball. So I'm a little bummed out from my home squad. And they go on the road in a winnable game, but without their starting QB, I don't know, man. You know, I just – can't you hear the confidence in my voice? I think it's a 6-point – it was a 4-point favorite for Maryland, the Terpins. I was serving them in the home of the Terpins for the Terpins. But it I believe that it goes down even more, or goes up, down, I guess, for me, being a Gopher fan. I think it went up to 6 or 7 now that Leidner's not in there. I just don't see it happening, man, unfortunately. It sucks. But what are you going to do? I think they're going to lose. But, you know, I've picked with them. I've picked against them. And maybe they'll pull it out this week. Who knows? You never know. But I'm not – as you can tell, I'm not really – I don't think it'll happen. Anyway, I'm going to get out of here. You guys enjoy week 7 for college football. I'll be back next week, of course, on Blog Talk Radio with the full formatted podcast where we kind of do a combo of recap and prediction. And also the YouTube, I'll bounce back and do a recap before I do a prediction segment. So appreciate everybody with the listenership here in the last couple of weeks. The college football show is getting its most listens that it has. So I really appreciate that. And just overall, the Rub It Up Radio podcast as well. Really appreciate all the love and support out there. Really happy being back on YouTube, even though you kind of forget about some of the ignorance and racist and hate until you get back on there all the way. And but that comes with the territory. I've been having fun though, getting back into the scene and trying to chop it up with some boxing fans out there. But like I said, thanks for listening to the College Football Show. We'll be back next week. Peace.